Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And we are really excited to be here. Tina and I did grow up here in Wilmington our whole lives. I was actually born in Fayetteville, but my parents moved here when I was about 6 months old, and we lived here until 2000 when we moved to Greensboro to begin pastoring Daystar Church. We've been there now for 15 years, so this feels like home. Tina's dad and all her family actually grew up right here on Village Road. They still have a house there. Her uncles still live there, and so this Leland is very near and dear to us. Wilmington, of course, is very near and dear to us, and we did a few years ago got connected with Impact and started hanging out with Heath and Jody. Have just fallen in love with them and heard so much about your church, and we're excited about what God's doing here, excited about your new property and the opportunity to have a permanent location and a place where you can continue to reach this community. And man, that's so exciting, isn't it? And, you know, building a church takes time. You've been doing this about 3 years, and I like to remind church planners all the time, our church has grown larger now through the years, and I love to remind church planners all the time, it took us 5 years to break 100. I mean, it just took a long time to find our way and to gather some people and to develop some people and to raise some leaders and you know, just to learn how to really impact our community. And I think y'all are doing a fantastic job. This is all amazing. Y'all really do a good job of turning this school into a church. And so it's a good place for you to invite a friend and to be, you know, excited about doing that. Also, Mark Roundtree, everybody look here at the back. There's Mark on the back row. And Mark has attended our church. He and his wife, Kim, and their kids have attended our church for years and years. And they love the beach, so they're here a lot. And they were here this weekend, and so he came to, he said he was going to be my bodyguard. I told him he was my entourage, like that movie, you know. And so, Mark, they've been great friends to us. Really glad that y'all are here. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit. If you have your Bibles open to James chapter 1, I want to share a simple message that for me has been life-changing. And I'm convinced that if you can hear this and receive it and begin living out what we're going to talk about today, it will radically change everything in your life. Now for me, I wish I would have been listening in a church service like this and someone would have told me and I would have embraced it, and because it would have saved me a lot of heartache. Unfortunately for me, I didn't figure this out until I was in the middle of a crisis. Tina and I got married in 1996. I was beginning my second semester of seminary, 4 or 5 months in. Our marriage, literally 5 months old, was falling all to pieces. And we had to drop out of seminary. We moved back to Wilmington to be close to family and friends and started trying to figure out how do we do marriage, because, I mean, we're 5 months in and we stink at it. And so we started trying to put the pieces back together. But before that moment, I was a fantastic church member. You know, I was very involved in church. I loved the Lord. I worked real hard. I was very bold in sharing my faith and telling people about Jesus. But the truth is, I didn't know how to connect with God every day. And when my marriage began falling apart out of desperation, literally out of desperation, I was getting up every day. Tina had told me, I don't love you anymore. I don't want to be married. I'm never going to be in the ministry. This is craziness. And I began getting up every day just desperately saying, God, help me. You've got to teach me how to be a better husband. You got to teach us how to do marriage. I mean, everything that matters in my life is falling apart right now. And, you know, you got to help me. And I began to have an experience with God where I just learned to hear God speak to me every day through His Word. And I believe that experience is not only possible, I believe it's the heart of God for every single person. We're in this series called Written in Red, and here's something that's in red in your New Testament. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that is proceeding, that's in the present tense, every word that is proceeding right now at this moment out of the mouth of God. Now, none of us missed breakfast this morning, probably. And what Jesus is saying is, listen, breakfast alone's not enough. We live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It reminds me of John chapter 6 when Jesus is preaching one day and all the crowd is left because he's just said to them, you know, eat my flesh, drink my blood. And they're freaking out. And they're like, we're out of here. And Jesus turns to the disciples and he says, are you guys going to leave too? And Peter says this. He says, where else could we go? For you have the words of life. And I think we really have to grasp how important it is for us every day to begin our day listening to what God has to say. So here's the big idea for this morning. I hope this phrase sticks with you. We've been saying it at Daystar for the last several weeks. Before I begin my day, God has something to say. Say that with me. Before I begin my day, God has something to say. And that is so true. If you'll get up in the morning and open the Bible with an expectant heart, God will speak to you through His Word every day. And that transforms a person's life. You know, so many times I have people come to me, and if you've been a Christian for a while, you've probably had people come to you and say, gosh, I'm just trying to make this decision, and I'm just not sure. What is the will of God concerning this issue, whatever it is? You ever had somebody do that? They're trying to figure out God's will. And the secret to knowing God's will is listening to God every day. If you want to know God's will, the secret to knowing God's will in any area of your life is getting in the habit of listening every day. Getting in the habit of listening every day. Now, James, the reason we're in James is because James, of course, is the brother of Jesus, and he's going to talk about this, and I think he has this firsthand experience. I suspect that growing up, James was very much like me. He went to the synagogue. He knew his, he kind of knew about the Bible. He had probably memorized and read a bunch of it, you know, like most good Jewish boys. He knew all about God, but I doubt he woke up every day with this expectancy to hear God speak. But that wasn't true for his brother. He watched and he saw something, I think, in the life of Jesus that after the death and resurrection of Christ and after placing his faith and trust in Christ, he began to realize, man, there's a different way to live. And I think he's capturing that here in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. And let's look together at what it says. Beginning in verse 19, he says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. As he's talking to believers. He's speaking to the church. You must all, not some of us, not the pastor, not the small group leaders, but we must all of us, must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. The first thing I want you to notice is that we've got to want to know God's will. We got to want to know God's will. He says there in verse 19, we need to be quick, eager, hungry, excited, desperate, determined to hear God speak. We've got to be quick to listen. And the truth is, most believers in American culture are not quick to hear God speak. In fact, in my experience, a lot of the people that I'm around, they only want to hear what God says when they're in a crisis, when they're in trouble, when the wheels are falling off. And now, in that moment, I want to hear God speak. And the truth is, even in that moment, I'm not sure we want to hear God speak. We want God to alleviate our pain, and those are not the same thing. And what James is saying is that we need to be eager, quick, hungry to hear God speak. Do any of y'all hunt? Anybody hunt in the room? Not many hunters down here. More people fish, probably. But about 4 years ago, I started hunting, and Greensboro hunting's more prominent, probably, especially deer hunting. And I started hunting about 4 years ago, and I was clueless, but my daughter played on this softball team, and the coach was this big, I mean, he's like Daniel Boone. He knows how to do anything, hunt anything, trap anything. He's taught me everything about hunting and cleaning animals and all this crazy stuff. But I remember, and even today, I remember when I first started hunting, every little question, everything I wanted to know, I would always call Don Hawkins. I'd call him up and say, "Don, I got a question for you. Don, I got a question for you." And I began calling him my hunting coach. Now, I never paid him, but he was my hunting coach. Because like I was calling him several times a week and asking him questions because I was eager to hear what Don had to say. You know why? Because I knew that Don knew some things I didn't know. And you know, God knows some things that I don't know. And I need to be the same passion, the same hunger, the same eagerness to hear God speak that I had to hear Don speak. So when you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing on your mind? Is it coffee? Is it a bagel? Is it Good Morning America? Is it a newspaper? Is it K-Love? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? What's the first thing? And I want to challenge you to keep in mind that before I begin my day, God has something to say, and to wake up in the morning eager to connect with God, very first thing, and to allow God to speak. Job 23:12, one of my favorite verses, says, Job says, that I long more than my daily bread. I long for your word more than my daily. Can you imagine if we longed for the word of God more than to eat? You imagine the impact that would have on culture if we were more hungry to hear God speak than to hear that lady at Starbucks say, "Can I take your order?" Imagine if we were that hungry for the voice of God. In the mornings, every morning about 6 o'clock, I'm laying in bed and I begin to hear a noise and a rustling and a whining and a and shuffling around. And what it is, about 6 o'clock, my dogs are ready to get out of the cage. And they're eager to see me. And they begin making noises. If I'm sleeping in, they're making noises to get me up. It's 6 o'clock. The sun is up. It's time to get out of this cage. They're eager. When I open the, you should see them. When I walk over there, they start pawing at the cage. I mean, they're won't out there going crazy. And you open the cage up and they're running around in circles. And if I don't let them out quick, they'll pee on stuff. I mean, they're excited. And just imagine, if we woke up as excited about seeing and hearing, connecting with our master, as my dogs wake up excited to connect with their master. What if we had that same passion? Before I begin my day, God has something to say. Here's the second thing I want you to notice. He says, not only do we need to be quick to listen, he says, we've got to be slow to speak. Here's what I think James is saying. He's saying, when we open our heart and mind to hear what God has to say to us, we have to be careful not to rationalize our will in order to ignore his will. So we've got to be quick to listen and then slow to speak. Now, parents, you're going to understand this immediately, right? How many times when we tell our children something, they immediately begin giving us all the reasons why we're an idiot and don't know what we're talking about? Has that ever happened to you, parents? Right? You know, we do the same thing with God. God says, "This is my will about this issue." And we begin making excuses and talking back to God and giving him all the reasons why our situation is different. We're the exception. I know that works for most people, but God, you just don't understand. This is different. It's different. Your circumstances are not different. Your situation is not new. God knows best. And James is saying, instead of spending your life do you know how we are fantastic at rationalizing whatever we want in life? I am amazed. I won't take time to do it. But I'm amazed at the people who have come into my office and sat on my couch and who have heard me teaching the Bible every week for years and will rationalize the most ridiculous decision you've ever heard. Everyone in the room would say you're an idiot for doing that, but they've rationalized it. We're fantastic at this. And James is saying we've got to be eager to hear what God has to say. And we've got to be very, very careful about rationalizing our will. It's kind of like this parents here. In our house, there's a big giant hill in our neighborhood. And our kids ride down the hill on their bikes or different toys. And so your kid comes to you and says, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to go and ride down the hill." And we say, "Okay, that's fine. Just put on a helmet." And "Oh, Dad, but nobody wears a helmet anymore. And I'm like 14 years old and I've never fallen and the hill's really not that big and none of my friends wear a helmet. Do I really have to wear a helmet?" Right? And they're rationalizing a foolish decision. And a lot of times we rationalize a foolish decision, and then to make it worse, we ride down that hill and we crack our head open and we say, "God, how could you let this happen to me?" And God would say, "Put your helmet on. That's what I told you. Put your helmet on." Right? Quick to listen, slow to speak. We have to be careful not to rationalize our agenda. Your mind has an amazing ability to do that. Here's the third thing. Third thing is we've got to be careful. We've got to want to be right with God more than we want to be right. Now here's how James says it. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. We have to be slow to get angry when God's will, when God's word confronts our lifestyle. Our tendency is to get angry about that and say, "I'm going to do what I want to do." And James says, the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God, the righteous life that God desires. And righteousness means I'm walking in a right relationship with God. He says, when we get angry, that doesn't accomplish the righteous life that God desires. We get out of step with Him. And when we get out of step with God, we have a tendency to make a mess of our life. If my kids don't listen, if they rationalize, if they decide I can ride down that hill without a helmet, I don't care what Dad says, they might find themselves in the hospital. And often that same thing happens in our life. We've not been eager to listen, and when we did hear, we rationalized. Then we got angry when a friend, a pastor, somebody said, "You know what? You're making a bad decision. Here's what the Bible says about that, and I love you, and I really am urging you, counseling you to do something different. Oh, you just don't understand. I'm going to do my own thing," and we kind of get angry, and we walk away, and then everything begins to blow up. We have to be careful about that. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Y'all know this verse, right? It says, "Trust the Lord with all your heart." Don't lean on your own understanding, your limited understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your steps. Man, let's trust the Lord. All right, let's move on. Here's what He goes on to say. Verse 19, I'm just going to review. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Verse 20, anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Verse 21, so get rid of all the filth and the evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God that He's planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Here's the fourth thing, is that we've got to start with what we already know. So many times, people want to know the will of God in a specific area, but they've not been willing to do the will of God in the areas that they already know. In other words, let's begin with what we know. Let's go ahead and do what we know God has communicated to us to do. And I believe that when we begin doing what we know, then we begin to hear more clearly what we don't know. That's so important. In fact, it's interesting. If you read William Barclay's commentary on this passage, there's a Greek word here that in James's day was used in medicine to refer to earwax. So when he says the moral filth, the same Greek word there in James's day was used for earwax. And William Barclay in his commentary makes the point, he thinks what James is saying is that the moral filth, any time that we don't obey what we already know, it becomes like earwax. You ever had somebody say, you need to clean out your ears? You ever have a teacher say that to you? And what she's saying is, you're not listening. You're not hearing what I'm saying. And what James, or William Barclay believes, what James is saying is, when we don't obey the Word of God, and we don't obey what we already know, it's like earwax building up, and we lose our capacity now to hear God's voice. Again, parents, you've had this happen a million times probably. My kids will come to me some days and say, hey, Dad, can we go to the pool? Yeah, as soon as you get your homework, we can go to the pool. Oh, come on, Dad, can we go to the pool now? Yeah, as soon as you get your homework done, we can go to the pool. Dad, but everybody's going now and it's hot. It won't be hot later. Can't we go right now? And after the second time, I will not answer that question anymore. Instead, what I say is, I'm not answering that question. I've already given you an answer. You ever had that happen? And I think that's exactly what can happen in our life spiritually. We find ourselves asking questions sometimes that God has clearly answered in His Word. And we're asking over and over and over again. And finally, God says, I'm not answering that question one more time for you. See, the issue is not that we don't know what to do. The issue is that we're not willing to do sometimes what we know. And it becomes earwax. It grieves the Spirit of God. It makes it very difficult to hear God speak to us on a daily basis, to hear God speak to us about specific issues and decisions that we're trying to make in our life. So we've got to start with what we know. Here's the next thing, is we've got to listen every day. Watch what he says. He uses this great metaphor. It's really awesome. Beginning in verse 22, he says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're just fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you looked like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. In other words, we've got to start listening every single day. And James is using this metaphor. Here's what he's saying. This morning you got out of bed, every single one of us. We got out of bed this morning. And we walked in the bathroom and we looked at the mirror and it was scary. It was scary. And what we did is we stayed in front of that mirror until we had fixed it. And then we left. And until we fix it, we're not leaving, right? Men, we're late most places because your wife's determined to fix it before we head out the door, right? Here's what James is saying. He's saying the Word of God's like that mirror. He said, we open the Word of God and the mirror of God's Word reveals to us who we are, what's out of place, what needs to be adjusted, where we need to learn and grow. The Word of God is like that mirror. And if we'll allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to finish its work in us, what'll happen is when we look into that mirror, we'll begin to see more and more the reflection of Christ in each one of us. But the only way that happens, it's not a casual glance. So in other words, you didn't walk by the mirror and just look over and keep walking this morning. You stayed until you were changed. And that's exactly how we handle the Word of God. We open the Word of God because we believe it's God's love letter to me. And He has something before I begin my day. God has something to say. And I'm going to open the Word and trust the Word of God and the Spirit of God in that moment to transform who I am, to make me more like Christ. And I'm going to stay until I have that word, which takes some time. It takes some time. I heard this week, brand new statistic, the most recent statistic, says that the average American spends 4.5 hours a day on television and social media. And yet we say we have no time for the Word of God. You know what that means? That means that the television and social media has become our mirror that is shaping us into the image of the world instead of the Word of God being our mirror that's shaping us into the image of God. And the world is going to leave us in a mess when James says, if we'll read and obey, that we'll be blessed in everything we do. Wouldn't you rather be blessed? I just believe that the Bible has more to say to me than Good Morning America and Oprah and the newspaper. There's nothing wrong. I read the newspaper almost every day. I'm not going to read it the first part of my day. I'm going to give God the first part of my day, and I'm going to skim the newspaper in about 5 minutes at the end of my day and throw it in the trash. Right? We got to get that right. Allow the Word of God to be the mirror that transforms your life. So, Alan, help me to understand what that looks like. Well, here's my practice. I get up in the mornings. First thing I do is I go in my living room and I sit in a chair and I read my one-year Bible. And the reason I read a one-year Bible is it allows me to read a little bit out of the Old Testament, a little bit out of the New Testament, a psalm and a proverb every day, and you read through the Bible every single year, which is fantastic for your spiritual life. But I don't read it like I'm reading a newspaper. I'm not just reading it to get information. I'm reading it slowly, inviting the Holy Spirit to speak to me through the Word, through the reading for that day, and help me to understand something about my life, my family, my ministry, just whatever. God, you just speak. You know what I need to hear. Speak to me through your word. I just open it and I'm excited and eager. I believe God has something to say. So for example, this week, Monday I got up and in my one-year Bible in the Old Testament reading was a story of Solomon. And God asked Solomon, Solomon, what would you like? What do you want? You can have anything. I'll give you anything you ask for. What will you want? What did Solomon ask for? He asked for wisdom. And God, he said, give me wisdom, understanding in order to lead these people. And God was so blessed by his request. And God blessed Solomon with wisdom and also wealth and power. And I just found myself praying that morning, God, help me. Give me the wisdom to lead. Give me the wisdom to lead myself. Give me the wisdom to lead my family. Give me the wisdom to lead at church. Give me the wisdom to lead. Help me to have for your word to be so in my heart that in every moment you'd remind me of what you've taught me so that I can lead and live in wisdom. And I just prayed through that passage. Well, man, that shapes your life. On Tuesday, in the Tuesday reading, again, it was about Solomon. And remember, Solomon is going to build the temple. And God provided miraculously for Solomon to have the resources necessary to be able to build that temple. Is that a good word for Reach Church today? Amen. That God has all of the provision you need to build the building that you want to build. We're in the process of trying to build a building. That God has all the resource that we need to build the building that we're trying to build. And I just spent some time praying about that and saying, God, it's not up to me. It's up to you. Unless you build the house. By the way, that was in the reading this week. We labor in vain. God, I'm trusting you to build your house. I'm trusting you for the resource we need. Right? And so I just spent time praying about that. It's not up to me. It's up to God. On Wednesday, Psalm 128 said, my wife would be a fruitful vine, that my children would be olive shoots around my table. And I just spent time praying for my family and thanking God that the Bible says that if I will fear the Lord, that he's going to bless my family. And claiming that promise for my wife and children and asking God to help me to be a husband and a father. On Thursday, I was reading about Solomon again in the temple. And when they finished the temple, it says that the glorious presence of God filled the temple. Wouldn't that be good if every Sunday morning the glorious presence of God would fill the church and fill every heart and transform people's lives? And that's exactly what we need in every church in America. And I just began praying, oh God, it's not good music and cool lights and a great space. It's always about your presence. And if you don't show up, we're lost without you. I'm just praying through that on Friday. Again, it was Solomon. And after he finished the temple, God said to Solomon, if you'll follow me all the days of your life, then I'll build a dynasty. Oh man, I said, God, I want to be faithful. I want to finish strong. I want to follow you all of my life so that for generations after generations after generations, unless Jesus returns, and I hope he comes today, but if he doesn't, that for several generations, God, that you would keep that promise that my children and my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, my great-great-great-grandchildren would be blessed, that they would walk with God. And I just began claiming, do you see how that works? You just open the Bible and it's with an open heart. God, listen, God is more eager to speak to you than you are to hear him. God wants to speak to you today. In John 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. That was a promise in red from Jesus. My sheep hear my voice. God wants to speak to us. And there's nothing in the world like living your life, living every day knowing today God has spoken to me. So how do we do that? We got to be eager to hear God speak. We got to be careful not to rationalize our will, but to humbly accept him. We got to be careful not to get angry and to walk away, to turn our back on God's will and his word. We've got to do the things that we already know. For some of us, God has already spoken to us very clearly. You know, the truth is, let's just be honest, the Bible is pretty black and white about everything. And the Bible has answered most of our questions. The question is, will we do what we know the Bible says? And then let's do it every day. Just like every day you go to the mirror to brush your teeth and to comb your hair and to shave your face and to put on makeup, all those things, that every day we'd come to the Word of God and allow, expect the Word of God and the Spirit of God to transform who we are every single day. I'm telling you, if you'll live this way, your spiritual life will explode. You will take off with the Lord. Things that, besetting sin, things that you've been wrestling with all your life, all of a sudden you're going to be set free because Jesus begins filling your cup and you don't need that anymore. I'm telling you, God will rescue your marriage and rescue your family. Everything will change if you'll just take time to allow God to speak. Before I begin my day, God has something to say. Now listen, the first step in all of this is we have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Right? Because the truth is, all of us are born separated from God with a closed ear towards God. The truth is, we're independent, rebellious. We want to do our own thing. My kids, like your kids, when they were growing up, I didn't teach them to misbehave. I didn't have to teach them to say mine and no. And I mean, they come out knowing how to do all that, right? And that's true for all of us. We come out independent, rebellious, independent, separated from God. And God knows that. And God loves us so much that he sent his one and only Son to rescue us from our sin, our independence, our rebellion. Jesus lived a perfect life, died on the cross, rose from the dead to purchase not only our salvation, but our redemption, our deliverance, so that we could be the children of God, a part of his family. But you have to make a decision to humble yourself and to admit, I need Jesus, and to invite him to be your Savior and King. And the Bible says if you'll do that, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we'll be saved. I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer. For some of you, maybe you've never made that decision. Maybe you've never taken that step. And I'm going to lead us through a prayer to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus into your life. It's not magic. It's not a formula. It's just an opportunity for you to verbalize that, to say to Jesus, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior and my King. It's not a trick. We're not going to call you up here to the front. I'm not going to single you out. But I do want to give you a chance before we close our service to open your heart and to trust in Jesus. And listen, if you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, the thing that God wants to say to you this morning is that He loves you and He wants you to be a part of His family. Today is the day of salvation. Can you bow your heads with me? And this morning, if you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior, would you just pray this simple prayer there? You can pray it quietly. Pray this prayer with me, dear Jesus. I realize that I'm guilty. I've sinned against you. But you love me anyway. You came and gave your life for me. You paid for my sin. You rose from the dead to defeat death and the grave. And so today I'm humbling myself and inviting you to come into my life. Jesus, I'm trusting you for salvation. Help me to follow you. Help me to listen to your voice every single day. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.